What's up, everyone? Thanks for coming back to Fun Employment. As always, I'm your host, Pat, with another great guest for you this week. This week, I talk with a friend of mine, Curtis Staropoli. I'm not super sure if I pronounced that name right, actually, so anyone can correct me. I'm sure a lot of the listeners do know who that is, do know him. All-around great guy. He has an Instagram account right now called Kurt's Thoughts. It's just kurts.thoughts, where he's been doing kind of like talking man videos all about like being positive, being happy, and kind of remaining your best self. I'll read the bio of that right now, actually. He says, an honest perspective on how to live a happy and fulfilled life from someone who's still working on it. So definitely follow that out on Instagram and give him a follow. There's a little shout out for him. Before we get into that, though, I want to talk to everyone about tomorrow, or I guess it'll be today when you're listening to this. If you're listening on Tuesday, November 3rd, that's election day. So I want to remind everyone to get out and vote. I ran through the idea of not posting an episode this week just because it is so important that people get out to vote, and so I was hoping that kind of by staying off the feed, it would give someone one less excuse to not get out to vote. But then I realized that me and Curtis were going to talk about a lot of positivity. We're going to talk a little bit about happiness, humility. These are some things that are going to come up. We talk about kindness. We give some book recommendations, talk a little bit about meditation. And I figured all of these things are super important. I know a lot of you are going to be feeling a little bit of dread and despair during the election day and the weeks that follow, the months that follow, potentially. Without getting into picking sides here, I just want you all to know, regardless of your political affiliation, as I've mentioned before, you're all loved, you're all important, and you're all doing your best in this year that we're facing all together. So, without further ado, here's me and Curtis talking about pretty much exactly what I just said, but we talk about it for a lot longer. So, hope you all enjoy. As always, if you could please share to your Instagram stories and send to friends, that'd be awesome. Especially this episode, I think it'll brighten anyone's day. So, thanks again, and I'll talk to you guys next week.
What's up, man?
Oh, you can hear me? Perfect.
Yeah, dude, I can hear you. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
On top of the world, dude. As good as I can be, considering the world, you know?
What have you been up to? I like this, the podcast. I listened to a couple episodes.
Thanks, dude. Yeah, I just moved to Philly in like September. Just kind of full-time job searching right now. Hopefully hearing back this week from something, so fingers crossed there. I actually mentioned the podcast in my interview with those people, so if they're listening, that'd be awesome. Like, can you guys please hire me right now? That'd be sick.
Of course.
Yeah, man, I'm trying to break into the startup space, though. It was like the goal, and this is like a first step to that. So that's kind of where I want to be at.
Well, of course, any step of trying something new, getting involved, you're testing the market. I appreciate it. Good job.
Absolutely, dude. What about you, man? Kurt's Thoughts is going really well. I want to definitely talk about that a little bit if you want to.
Of course. Yeah. So this has been something that's been on my mind for a while. I didn't have a specific idea, but I'm passionate about helping people and kind of simplifying things. I work as a financial advisor, so my job is to take higher level concepts and simplify it down to individual clients. Mm-hmm. But in that, I've realized that my favorite part of that job is talking to people about their problems and then talking to my friends and my family about their problems and kind of just adding value on a personal level and not necessarily, you know, I enjoy my job. I'm enjoying what I'm learning. But I realized that that's more of my passion. So I looked back and I was like, oh, why was it my passion? And I realized that I was obsessed with this topic over the course of my life for whatever reasons. Mm-hmm. And now I'm in a position where, you know, I'm having conversations with my friends. I'm involved with these topics. I want to share the knowledge that I have. And I didn't really know how to jump into it, but I just wanted to try. Kind of like you with your podcast, I just wanted to get involved with something and just get my thoughts out there, and maybe I can find a path from there to lead on with it.
Yeah, man, I couldn't agree more, and that is pretty similar to what I've been trying to do with the podcast, which is just like I said in one of my earlier episodes that like I know I'm not going to be getting a million views right out of the gate here, but the way I've kind of had this like abundance mindset here is that if I get 30 views, I filled up an entire classroom. So if you think about that by like looking at the people. And so for your case, when you're looking, I was looking at it today, when you're looking at your like Instagram feed, you're getting 400 to 500 views on all these videos. So if you think about that as like, that's like a small arena. Like that's how much like concerts fit pre-COVID, obviously. And so that's a really like, that's what I'm trying to keep. And I hope you're doing the same. It seems like you're obviously have your own kind of positivity and like abundance mindset there.
That's a great topic. I'm glad you touched on it. I kind of referenced it. What's great about the, with having a podcast or having this, what I'm doing on Instagram, whatever that is, mm-hmm. is I get to kind of talk through my thought process and explain what I'm trying to do, but also help people at the same time. So in one of my videos, I was talking about if my circle gets smaller, for instance, my first video had close to 2,000 views. If right. my circle gets smaller because I'm preaching the things that I believe in, that I'm saying the things that I love and I think that are going to help my circles and the people around me closest, I'm going to say those things. And if it shrinks down to 400, that it's a small arena. That's a great perspective and I love that as well. But I'm just like, okay, I'm talking to the audience that wants to hear the value that I'm bringing to the table. And exactly. I think that's, you're spot on and it's awesome.
Yeah, dude, like I said, I couldn't agree more. I think it's interesting what you said there about how you started this and you're a financial advisor. So you're solving people's like financial issues and you're helping with proving value monetarily, whatever way that is. I don't know a ton about the ins and outs in the day-to-day of a financial advisor. So that's interesting to think about how you can kind of parlay that into being able to help people with their like mental issues and with like positivity and like happiness. You're hardly, to my knowledge, a registered like therapist. So obviously we'll tightrope that like line of like actually providing like real succinct advice. But like, it is something that like you definitely are helping. Like when I stumbled on it, that video, like I was probably laying in bed hungover, the video where I found your account. And then I was like, oh, I needed this. And now I'm out of bed and I'm like doing something, which is awesome.
Exactly. I appreciate that heavily. Thank you so much. But that's a good point. I want to preface this by saying there's no professional experience. This is what the concept of Kurt's thoughts is. And what I wanted to do was show a person in the process, a person from just a given perspective, mm-hmm. kind of going through what's going on in his life, but also what's going on between the ears and talking about the insecurities and talking about, just things that people I don't think are talking about enough, but everyone's experiencing. So trying to find the human among us and do so in a reasonable way, but also in a way that you're providing both perspectives. Just getting my thoughts out there for my own sake so I'm not going crazy, but also maybe they could help someone else and just seeing a perspective to tell them, hey, someone else is thinking the way you are as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not self-serving at all. If there was any concern you had there, you're good on that. It's helping people. And it's helping you. So it seems like it's pretty mutually beneficial. So let's kind of dive into the topics that I texted you about today. Just real quick, I want to preface this. This is not a podcast that will ever be about politics. So without getting into politics though, I think I do need to say that people are going to be feeling a ton of dread and despair tomorrow. Just for sure, regardless, both sides of the coin. And so I just want to say from me, to these people that as long as they voted, as long as they encourage others to vote, they did their part. And regardless of the outcome, they should be holding their heads high and be kind of proud in their participation. You have anything to add on this? Anything to kind of brighten the, most of the listeners listening to this are going to be listening tomorrow. So if you have anything to kind of brighten.
Yes, of course. I would say that it's important to know that you voted, you were passionate about what you believed. You expressed so in a meaningful way, a respectful way. But you also have to realize that, you know, whatever happens with the vote tomorrow, either way, it all starts with you, your happiness, your outlook on life, your perception on life. You control that aspect, but you also have to realize that it doesn't mean there's a lot of people out there that are horrible people or completely disagree with. We're going to get past this. It's going to be a bumpy time. There's going to be a lot of volatile experiences. And that's how it's kind of, whether it be the media, whether it be just conversations around us, we're built to argue with each other. Now, after this election, I hope we can start to look at the positives with each other. And it just starts to, you know, if it's a rapids, I hope it starts to wade a little bit after the rapids. And I think we start to rebuild as a country and see the reason after this. Yeah.
So that's something you said there about, like, you've done your part, you've tried your best to stay positive. This whole year really has just been another hurdle after another hurdle for everyone. Obviously COVID, obviously the election year, there's racial unrest, there's obviously a huge, like, mental health crisis going on with depression and anxiety, and how that's kind of increased by social media and the constant, like, consumption and usage. What do you think are some ways that you've been able to this year kind of remain positive and keep jumping over those hurdles? And then any kind of recommendations for other things people can do to kind of be doing that? And then I can give mine afterwards as well.
Of course, of course. I would say, you know, for me, I'm a person that's always in my head. I think a lot. It's always going off up there. And what the biggest answer for me was finding presence, was finding meditation, just being in the moment. And that, just what that means is, you know, understanding that you can only control the things in front of you. You can only control your next step, your response to the situations. Mm-hmm. So ask yourself in a situation, is this something I can control or is this something I can't control? And then just kind of focus from there. But that would be my first instinct when it comes to that. But also having a sense of perspective. Understanding, I do this when I talk to my parents, I talk to my family, I go back to places where I was a kid, and I just kind of reflect on where I came from, how great life is, regardless of how horrible it is. I choose to look at the positives in people and the positives in my experiences. So I know it's hard sometimes for people to see that, the positive, especially when it's grim like this. It's been 2020, but it's a habitual thought process. So if you just think about it a little bit each day and try to layer that in and just catch yourself when you start thinking negatively, that's a positive seed and it's going to continue to grow.
Absolutely. And I'm just going to echo that essentially, because that's kind of what I've been doing as well, is just like training your brain to think good thoughts. Like when you catch yourself, I like the term like ruminating, when you catch yourself kind of spiraling, you start with, oh, I have this one problem, and you're like, and then it just starts spinning in your head, and now all of these things are coming at you all at the same time, a million miles an hour. You don't feel like you can kind of stop that train. What I always do is just like notice that that's happening and say, oh, I'm spiraling right now. And then from there, I'll do anything I can to get my mind off of whatever started that. So for me, I haven't found a ton of success in meditation, but I've been doing yoga instead for the past like 106 days or something. And so I'll do a yoga practice, or I'll read whatever it is that I'm reading at that time. I'll sit down and like force myself to do that, or a crossword puzzle, just like something to get me out of like the sucked in that I'm getting sucked in.
Well, and that, those are also like yoga, for instance, that's a meditative act. If you're going through your yoga practice and you're breathing and you're at a consistent pace, and what you're trying to get to is what you touched on, is meditation is when you notice all the emotions and all the thoughts that are coming into your head, and you're feeling them, but you're aware of, okay, this is all my insecurities, this is everything that's going on, these are all my worries and stresses and the negative emotions. And then meditation allows you to say, okay, what do I actually want to think? What do I want to go? Where do I want to go from here? So I think you're doing that through the crossword puzzles, through the yoga, but it's under a different set of circumstances. So that's awesome, man.
Yeah, and I know meditation can be hard. So to any of the listeners listening to this, one thing that a therapist told me once to get to make meditation easier is when you close your eyes, to imagine a stream, a rolling stream, and every thought is a leaf on that stream. And so when the leaf falls off the tree, it lands in the stream. Notice that it's there, but then watch it drift away from the stream. And then now it's gone out of your view after it's like floated away that far. And then another thought's going to come, and then that's going to keep coming. And then eventually you'll have transcended kind of time and space, and you'll just be watching your thoughts float down this stream. And it was a really nice like strategy that I used to start meditating. I still like, I'm having a hard time getting into just like fully seated meditation, and I've been doing yoga instead, but that's been a strategy that's worked for me for sure.
No, I've never heard of that analogy, but I love that. I'm going to start using that in my own practice. But for people out there also that just want to maybe have a exercise that is simple, you don't need to be good at meditation, doesn't have any mental requirement. It's something that my yoga teacher taught me, but it's also used by military professionals to kind of calm their nerves. It's called box breathing. So you breathe in for 4 seconds, hold, hold for 4 seconds, then you breathe out for 4 seconds, and then hold. That one, I've taken some major finance tests. I've taken just interview before interviews. It might be a placebo effect, but mm-hmm. it doesn't matter because it works. So if you're not a meditator but want to take 5 to 10 seconds just to recollect your thoughts throughout the course of the day, that's an easy tip for someone that doesn't like to meditate.
Yeah, there's a really useful app to follow along with that too. It's called Breathe. I literally just downloaded it. I got like an Instagram ad and I was like, that looks cool. And so I downloaded it. It's totally free. And it shows you, and you can like look at it if you want to have your eyes open, and it shows you like inhale and it's like a bubble filling up, and then exhale and it's the bubble filling out. And it's the perfect like kind of stimulant to go along with that if you do just need to be like looking at something.
I like that.
And it's literally just called Breathe, which is like a cool little like minimalist branding that I like.
Perfect.
So I was running through all your videos, and my favorite of them was your video that was called You Are Special But You Aren't, or something like that. And it was talking all about humility. And I don't think that enough people kind of even know. I think humility is a word that gets tossed around and people don't really know what it like means. So I looked up the actual like dictionary definition, and it's just defined as a modest or low view of one's importance. I don't like that though, to be honest. I think that sounds a little negative. A book that I read, Call Sign Chaos. I've talked about that in like almost every episode of this now. It's General Jim Mattis's book on like leadership strategies and his like life philosophy. He thinks of humility as being modest enough to know that you can improve and should improve, but confident enough to know that you can do great things while improving. Any thoughts on this and your own kind of definition of humility?
I really enjoy that. Can you repeat that quote one more time?
This is a paraphrase, because his is like very based in like military terms, and it's like
sure.
But it's essentially to be modest enough to know that you can improve and that you should, but you're still confident enough to know that you're able to do great things.
I like that because it kind of strikes with the video I was talking about with the self-esteem and humility, because you know, people assume humility, not weakness, but when the definition makes it sound weak, makes it sound like that, because it's Simon Sinek out of a book that I'm looking at right now. It's Leaders Eat Last. Mm-hmm. It's the same concept as the people that donated their kidney that I referred to, the people that donated kidneys to strangers. Why they thought that they should was because they were no more special than anybody else. So at the root core of it, that's the definition, because you're thinking that I'm one of everybody else. I'm equal. But what I want to tie in for people, and what I want people to know, is you need to have the self-esteem tied to it, which is why I like your second definition better. You need to have the belief that you are, it's the Samuel Jackson from Coach Carter, our deepest fears, not that we're inadequate. So I wanted to try to tie that contrast, because I think that people either think that they're too good or not good enough sometimes. And we compensate either way.
Yeah. And there's so many risks to thinking you're too good or not good enough. Just like right off the top of my head, if you think you're too good, you're not going to be striving to improve. You're stuck at this like level. It was a TikTok actually, but I was like, this is actually really deep. But I saw a TikTok the other day, and it was like this girl, and she was saying that when she was little, everyone she knew would like tell her like, you're the smartest person ever. She was like acing tests, but she was acing tests in like 10th grade, and mm-hmm. everyone can. And so she got stuck into that like thought trap of thinking that she's like naturally the smartest person ever. And then she stopped working so hard because she was like, oh, I don't need to study for this. I'll just do well. I'm just the smartest person ever. And then it ended up leading her down like a dark path of like failure, because she realized that like she's not innately smarter than anyone else. It was because she was like reading from a young age that she was getting such high scores on tests in third grade or whatever. And so by her thinking she was too great, she failed to reach her like true potential of greatness, so to speak.
I think that there's a lot of people out there that won't have the true concept of reality. Mm-hmm. That they live in a vacuum, and I don't want to be the cliche, the participation trophy concept, but if you live in a place where you're winning always, and people are telling you that you're great, and you know you don't experience the failures of life and the not to be harsh, but the cruelties of life, then you don't understand the humility of the world. So it's understanding that the world's going to be tough, and it's not going to be nice to you. But you're strong enough to overcome that. And I think for me, leaning on people, listening to people, getting energy off of other people that are that have shown me strength, or I see or I've read books about their strength. That's how I kind of tie in the humility of the world.
Yeah, and it's just crucial. It's like one of my, I would say it's the most important like character trait that someone can have, because you are always in that constant improving mindset, but you're still, like we've said, confident enough to know that you can do great things. That's where I think people need to find that sweet spot.
And I think the problem is, you know, the main reason I don't think people come off humble is they're trying to prove. They're trying to sell themselves to other people or sell themselves to themselves. You know, mm-hmm. you're trying to be interesting always. You're trying to project intellect. And oftentimes, I know it's cliche, but the best way to be interesting is to be interested. I love the best conversations I have is not when I'm bringing up the most interesting topics. It's when I'm most curious about someone else's life and just get to learn off of them. So I think people need to take the pressure off themselves more and just try to feed into learning from others.
Yeah, I'm seeing what you just said there. I'm kind of seeing firsthand right now with like the feedback from my last podcast episode. I was talking with someone who is like building AI models, and I just know like very little about AI, but I do have like a solid understanding of like tech in general. And just like from that, like my baseline understanding and his like more expert level understanding, me just being so like wanting to learn more, and we were like digging ourselves deep into this hole that like really neither of us kind of knew what we were talking about. But all the feedback I've heard from that has been like, keep doing those, like keep talking to people like that, which has been fun.
No, for sure. Obviously. For sure. And again, like for me, I listened to that AI. I thought it was great. I loved how you dove into it. But for me, AI and that stuff, tech, is something naturally that I run from. It's something that like I just, that's not a topic that I'm interested in. But I think people need to do that as well. If there's a topic that you don't naturally are curious about, but broadening your horizon and forcing yourself out of your comfort zone, because who knows? Like I'd learned stuff that I didn't know before, and now I can use it in a different conversation and then feed that knowledge off of there. So I really appreciate that last episode.
You also just kind of let out something that we weren't planning on talking about, but I think with creative like pursuits and stuff, and just like a pursuit in general, like a job, whatever, like I think trying new things is so important, and people need to not be scared to give up on those new things if you don't like them. Like if you are reading a book and you don't like it, put the book down. You don't have to force yourself to finish this book. A zillion other books that you can go find one and read it. If you want to learn an instrument, you pick up the guitar, you don't like it, that sucks, pick up a piano. Like try all these things. Obviously the instrument one, like you need a little bit of a means to do either of those things, let alone both. But people need to be normalizing like failing early and failing often, because then you get closer to finding something that you're going to succeed in.
I love it. And when you're talking about the books, I read probably like I have 6 books half read right now. And I kind of just go through them where I feel the mood that like, so I don't put pressure on myself. Oh, I need to finish this book in a week or something like that. I know people work better that way. But when you're talking about like, for me, the guitar, I played guitar for 4 years growing up, but it didn't come naturally to me like sports did. So I just never got good and told myself I wasn't a musical person and I didn't care. So I just stopped playing guitar for a four-year period. And I came back and I really wanted to play. And it was a passion of mine. I was like, I'm going to force myself to play. And that's where, you know, it's the switch. And it's just, it's easier when you have the motivation. And it's sometimes hard to fake that.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Let's get into positivity now. Let's talk kind of, I know so many people are so negative and pessimistic all the time, and a lot of people think that that's like a trap that they're stuck into. But I think there's a ton of ways you can get out of that trap. So let me run through to you what I've been doing. I started something new this year. I'm going to run through like my positivity strategy, get your thoughts on that, and then see what kind of strategies you're using for positivity. All right.
Awesome.
So this year I started something new. I've never done a New Year's resolution before. So this year what I did instead was I did decade goals and I keep them in a journal. And so this was the first, like it wasn't the first, but 2020 new decade. And so I listed out 8 goals that I want to be getting closer to by the end of the next 10 years, because I'll be 32, which is just a crazy like thought. And so those goals, just real quick, were mental fitness, physical fitness, travel more, become more well-read, romantic stability, financial stability, altruism, and to be more creative. And so what I've been doing to stay positive is that my logic here is that if I'm having a bad day, as long as I've done at least one thing every day to get closer to at least one of those goals, then it's a good day. So for example, just two quick examples. If I'm having a bad day and I go to Walgreens or the grocery store and they say, do you want to round up to fight child hunger? It's like 3 cents. Say yes every time, because then I've now at least gotten closer to that like altruism goal. Or if I'm having a bad week, maybe the following week I'll like plan a date, or maybe I'll research a new stock to invest in, because now I'm looking forward to those financial stability and the romantic stability goals. So that's been my strategy this year, and I'm loving it. And I'm keeping it all in a journal. I got this journal in Italy, which is just sick. It's like made of leather. It's like engraved. And so I'm keeping
it. I went to Italy too. That's awesome, man.
Yeah. So I'm keeping it in this journal, and I'm doing an entry once a month. And because journaling is like such an intimidating, like do every day topic. So I'm just doing once a month what I did that month to get closer to each one of those goals.
I think that's amazing. Yeah, the long term. And what made you diversify in the goal setting compared to just, and I'm just curious, have you always set your goals in this diverse of a form, or is this something that you just did this year? Or this?
No, the reason I did it this year is because I knew I was setting these to be accomplished over the next 10 years. And so I thought, what are some things that by 32, I should have
that makes sense.
Gotten a step closer to? 32 is like, I mean, that's like, I'm an adult, like a grown up. I mean, I guess I am now, sure. Technically, but 32 is like a lot. And then they're not really in any particular order. I read them off the way I have them listed. I definitely put mental fitness first, because I think after that, the rest just come.
Yep.
And then financial stability is a little bit closer to the bottom, because I'm not the kind of person that thinks that money is everything. I think that's another thing, that when you have everything else going for you, that'll just come.
Sure.
And yeah, so that's been my logic with those. Would love to hear your kind of thoughts on that and any strategy you have to kind of remain positive.
Definitely. I think you're spot on with the concept of looking 10 years from now and looking back on life, because that's, for me, that has been my biggest driver. I look at both how grateful I am for the opportunities I've been given. I look at my family. I look at just individual coaches, teachers who gave me encouragement all along the way. And I just use those moments as motivation for why I need to show them what they created, kind of. But also looking years from now, what am I going to regret? What do I regret now, look, as a 23-year-old? And it's not how, if I cared about what that kid thought, it's not, you know, did I make the conservative decision? It's, did I try for something? Did I help that person? Did I have strong relationships? So for me, I look at my relationships as fuel, but also I like the concept of looking long term and developing a sense of purpose, sense of something to work towards and grow on a constant basis. So that's my big picture kind of thought process.
That's awesome.
On a date, go ahead.
No, I was gonna say, I'm finding that you kind of just said there too about when you look back. I'm finding already, it's only been 10 months of this because I only started in 2020, but I'm finding already that something that I was so worried about, that was the end of the world kind of situation that I wrote in this journal about in January, if I looked at it today, I'd be like, that was the stupidest thing to let my mood be affected over. And like, when you think about that, it's just, that's kind of another reason why I think people should look, maybe not even the most long term, maybe 10 years is, that's just me being like a planning freak. But like, maybe people should be looking like a week in advance. Like, if what you're worried about today, are you going to be negative about that a week from now? Probably not.
Sure. No. And I think, you know, you don't have to have a 5-year plan or a 10-year plan. It's just, I had checkpoints for my job. I knew, okay, I'm going to get to this point in my job where I pass these tests, then I'll go from there. I'm going to get to the end of my program, and then I'll go from there. So I think formulate your future, your goals, your direction, and any timetable that you want to, but be working towards something. And I think that's something where, when I was at my low point, it was when I didn't have a purpose or I didn't have an overall, and my dad actually snapped me out of that. So that's what I think everyone should have a direction that they're heading. So that's my big picture. But on a small scale, I love the concepts that you're talking about of writing things down. I'm not as much of a goal. I have goals, big picture goals that I have. But for me, to get my thoughts in line, I'm a person that gets everything down on a piece of paper. I might write a story, or I might just journal, because when I put them down on a piece of paper, I can control those words. I can get down to an answer, and then I can repeat that answer in my head over and over again, compared to trying to formulate an answer in my head and then the thoughts are just flying. So writing and having things on paper is an awesome idea. I like that.
Yeah, it's the best to get. I'm a writer by, like, I was going to say by trade, but I just simply don't have a job right now. But I'm a writer by, like, passion. Like, ever since I was little, I've been doing creative writing. So it's great to hear from someone like you. I'm obviously, I don't know. I'm just assuming with the financial background, you maybe weren't always into the arts and creative writing. And so it's great to see how you've been able to find usefulness in that. Because I always get into my head when I recommend journaling to someone that they're going to be like, okay, dude, of course you like journaling. You wrote a 30-page short story for fun 2 weeks ago. You know, and so it's good to hear from you that you found that useful as well.
Of course. My mom, actually, I'll be honest, my mom was an English teacher growing up. Mm-hmm. So that was the influence I had with that. But I love writing. And I read constantly all throughout my life. And the reason why I would say, and I'm an advocate for reading, is because when you're like watching a show, you're watching a movie, you can definitely get a lot of information out of it. But the internal dialogue that you have throughout the course of a book, and then you can't text or you can't have a conversation in between chapters of a book. The words stop. So I think that for me, I am able to articulate myself better. I'm able to draw connections for some reason in my brain with reading. But I don't think that's the only way. I just it's just something that works for me.
Yeah. Can you? So I would usually wait until later in the episode to do this, but can you do? I've been doing like a recommendation series here. I've had the guest like recommend something. Do you have like a 3 or 5 books that you would say are like your must reads?
Okay, definitely.
I have those on deck. So if you want to lead off there.
Number one, 100%, How to Win Friends and Influence People.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if you've read it or you probably heard of it. That one has had a complete impact on how I interact with people, how I understand, you know, how people react and what will make them react in the best way possible. And just make life go smoother and articulate myself in the most efficient way possible. I also, so that's how you interact with people. I love that book for how I interact with people. When it comes to the inner engineering, Sadhguru is a yogi, and it's called Sadhguru Inner Engineering. And a lot of the concepts that I talk about through my videos, when it comes to, you know, your ego self versus your spiritual self and how to calm your mind and live a fulfilled life and a holistic life, come from him. He also has Facebook videos, and he's just a very, very inspiring person. So Sadhguru. And I think that's off the top of my head. If another third comes to me, I'll let you know, but those are the two off the top of my head.
Yeah. Top of my head, I go always Outwitting the Devil. I actually always have it like right next to me.
Really? Okay. I haven't heard of that one.
Outwitting the Devil is amazing. It's by Napoleon Hill. He wrote Think and Grow Rich. And like Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Like, he's the man. This is his, he had like an experience where he thinks that he interviewed the devil. And in his mind, like, the devil is not like a real person. In his mind, the devil is negative thoughts and negative energy, and like the three that he highlights are like envy, fear, and greed. And those are like his three main things. He was also born in like 1910, so he has obviously a different like three main things than us. And then it's talking all about how to use the positive in your head, which is optimism, love, and I don't know, there's one more, but it's about how to use like the three main positive thoughts to outwit the other side of the brain, which is like the negativity. So he's saying that within each person there's a God and a devil, and if you use that God to outwit the devil, you'll find the secret to freedom and success.
I like that
title. But yeah, that book's been amazing. And then I'm looking at my bookshelf right now. I'm actually reading Attached right now. That's like on my bedside table is Attached. It's about the different attachment styles in relationships, like romantic relationships and friendships, and how to kind of like figure out which attachment style you have and how to make the most out of that. That's been a really, I'm just simply not going into it, but that's been like really relevant to me as of late. And it's been also like just very useful to like even be able to recommend to other people, like, and again, I'm not an expert, but like how they can find out how their attachment style is affecting their relationship with their girlfriend or their boyfriend or their boss or their best friend and roommate.
That one really interests me, because I think in all the relationships that I experienced on a personal level, on a family level, the holes, the attachments that we have that we don't realize, identifying those, that'd be really interesting. That one's called Attached.
Yeah, it's called Attached. It's by Amir Levine and Rachel Heller. They both are doctors. It's grounded in like real science and like scientific trials, which is great too, because it's not like any pseudoscience, so to speak. Just to be totally honest, most of it is based on romantic relationships, but I think a lot of that are really applicable to any other relationship, because at the end of the day, people have different opinions on this, but in my opinion, at the end of the day, your girlfriend or boyfriend or whomever that is your romantic interest is just the same as your best friend, just with the added component of attraction and like sex. And so from using the strategies that you would use in a romantic relationship in your personal relationships, you can like find happiness in all of the relationships.
I completely believe in that, because what we're looking for is, you know, people are looking to have appreciation expressed to them. They're looking for love. They're looking for someone to listen, someone to be there. So it works on a universal level, just to different degrees. I completely agree with you.
Yeah.
And then one book I would say that I was curious if you read. Did you read The War on Kindness yet?
No, I haven't. That's been on my list for a bit. It's not moved its way up, but maybe I will now.
I started like a chapter or two, and I've been really interested in just that. You know, I'm a big EQ guy, the emotional intelligence, all that, and the concept of empathy. And they were telling us about how since 1970, it's like 125% decrease in average person, their empathy levels.
Yeah.
Because it's technology, just because there's an influx of different stories and information we're getting, we're diluted to the sensitivity of it. I don't know, but I have to read more and find out. It was interesting to me, and how we can combat that as, you know, just people that want to help, want to reach others. And I think there's a lot of us around here just trying to connect the dots and be a little bit louder.
Yeah. Empathy is such an important thing. It's right up there with humility as one of my like most important like traits to have, just because you're not like feeling sad for someone, you're feeling for someone. Like, lose that sad, you're feeling them. And it's so great and applicable to like everything. Like, I was just in a sales interview the other day, and they were talking about like having empathy in the sales process. Like, you need to be able to put yourself in the shoes of the buyer. Like, what kind of hidden frictions can you remove in their life? And so if you just start changing, like if you treated that sentence as Mad Libs and just saying it's important in the relationship process, what kind of hidden frictions can you remove in blank's life? And like, shit like that. I think that it's just, yeah, people need to be more empathetic, and then they'd see more success on every other aspect of their life.
Exactly. I want people to realize that it's the right thing to do, but it's also beneficial to you, to be empathetic. It's going to help you. I think that you're right on with what your favorites are: empathy, humility. I love empathy, humility, authenticity.
Mm-hmm.
Is another one. I want people to, if you're being driven, but you're not doing the thing that you love or you're passionate about, and you're doing it for someone else's projection, I want you to be authentic. I want you to be unapologetically yourself, and then be humble. And also, then the last thing would be, going hand in hand with that, having a purpose, being aspirational, wanting to do things in life. You had two of mine, and I wanted to add my other two that I really liked as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like a holy, I don't know the word for trinity for four, but I was gonna say it's like a holy trinity, holy like quad, I guess.
You keep on going on, but just choose the positive ones.
Absolutely. So we're about to hit that 40-minute mark. I don't want to take too much of your time. The last kind of two things I do on the podcast with every guest, because it is called Fun Employment. Some episodes get a little heavy. I did an episode about You Dance. You obviously were involved in that. And then I did the most recent episode on like AI. So they got a little heavy. So we kind of back to the recommendation thing. We just did books, which is, to be honest, what I had written down that I was going to do with you. But since we kind of did that already, let's do like a movie. Recommend like a movie to the guests that you don't think they've seen, or that's a little underrated.
I'm sorry, I wasn't prepared.
Yeah, it's okay.
So, what movies do you like? What's your favorite movie? I'm gonna try to think of one while you're talking.
Sure. Yeah. So my favorite kind of top five movies of all time are 500 Days of Summer, Whiplash, Good Will Hunting. probably The Dark Knight, just because you have to throw that in there. That movie's amazing. And Fight Club.
It's awesome. You don't have to do Good Will Hunting. Now the Good Will Hunting scene where he's talking with Will.
Yeah.
By the pond. That's one of my favorite scenes. I went to Italy and when I saw the Sistine Chapel, I rewatched that entire scene again. I love that one. I would say, you know, I grew up with a classic favorite, like Godfather, like those sports, those ones. But I was always a sucker for, you know, the sports movies, the inspirational sports movies, like The Greatest Game Ever Played. Remember the Titans, those ones, Miracle. I also am a big advocate of historical documentaries. Mm-hmm. There's one that I don't think a lot of people have ever seen. Even if it's not from a capitalistic view, it's just how the men that created America is what it's called. It's about Andrew Carnegie, the Vanderbilts. It's about how they used the oil industry, energy. I think people need to realize, you know, history repeats itself in different forms. And when it comes to the social media age, and what's happening now compared to what was happening then with the railroads and steel and all those resources, I think that was it's very interesting to see how they developed. So that's on Amazon Prime. It's a series, and I think people should look into that. I don't know why I thought of it. It's off the top of my head, but I really appreciate that one. It's one that I don't think a lot of people have thought about.
Yeah, absolutely. Another quote from that book that I've mentioned I might as well just have General Jim Mattis on here if I could, but in his book, Call Sign Chaos, which is another book I'd recommend to literally anyone, he has a quote that says, I actually might have this one memorized. I think he says, history is the light that guides the path before us. Even if that light is dim, a dim light is better than proceeding in the dark.
I like that. Yeah. I like that. Yeah. It's people don't change. You know, I honestly think across the board, even today, I view people as victims of circumstance. In their time, this is how would the average person act in this set of circumstances at this time period? And you realize that they're predictable. There's patterns to how people act with each other, what people want. And if we can address those concerns, address the mistakes we've made in the past, I think we'd be better off, but unfortunately history repeats itself because people don't do that.
Yeah. All right. The last thing I do, I've done this with every guest. It's just you and the audience talking now. So I'm going to leave as soon as you see my bedroom door close. It's literally just you and the audience. You've my word. I'm never going to hear what you say. You're just talking to them. Just kind of add a little candidness to it. Have you being talking to the audience, and you're just going to say one thing that they can do this week for fun, no matter where they are or what they have access to, or like their means. So just one thing that the audience or the listener can do for fun this week. And then from there, you can sign off. Thanks for coming on. It was a pleasure.
Thank you for having me, Pat. This was awesome. Thank you, man. This is very cool. Well, thank you guys for having me on. I appreciate you listening. Pat was amazing. I think, I'm going to boost him a little bit. This is such a great concept that he has going here, giving people the platform and just trying to, it doesn't matter how big his circle is going to get. He's just expressing people's opinions and just talking and doing something that he's passionate about. So kudos to him. And I'm very much supportive, and I'll be a continued listener. For you guys though, I kind of just, the lasting thoughts, look, I'm not an expert. I'm not pretending to be one. I don't want to come off as like a life coach or that I know anything I'm talking about. That's not what I'm doing. All I want to do is give my perspective. And if it resonates with you, I'm trying to be well-read. I'm trying to use references. I'm trying to help out. But if it resonates with you, that'd be awesome. If not, I completely understand too. But just believe that you can be happy. Believe that, you know, you're capable. Believe that you deserve love. And in each day, look for something to get excited about. Look for something that you can get better at. Also, just know you're stronger than you think. I want to give something that could make your life better. I would say initiate kindness. Try to smile more at people. Try to reach out and be the one to call someone or be the one to text someone that you wouldn't really typically do. I think that oftentimes we're fearful to make the first move of kindness. Oftentimes we're fearful to initiate that connection. This week, try to initiate the connection with just one person. Might be an old friend, might be a grandparent. Just go out of your way and initiate contact. I'm sure they'll appreciate it. And I'm sure you will too, okay? So I hope you have a great week, guys. I'm gonna stop rambling because I'm gonna be talking to the back of this closet for the rest of the night. Take care. Have a good night. We'll be right back.